Read me romance, read me romance, read me romance, read me romance. You could take a look in a book, that's fine, or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and read me romance, read me romance.
Hello.
Hi.
Who was dancing it out on the intro music? Doing that?
Yeah.
Because I was wondering what you guys were doing. I'm just sitting here looking at you guys like, really?
We don't hear the intro music. What are we dancing to?
I know. Well, I know it's playing, though. Like, in my head, I'm hearing it because I know it's coming.
Welcome to Read Me Romance, everybody. Hi. I'm Tessa Bailey. I'm here with Alexa Riley, also known as Leah and Mel. How's everybody doing?
Hi.
It's December. God dang it.
It's December. It's the first week of December, which means your Christmas tree should have been up for 4 weeks already.
I should say happy birthday, Dad. You said you weren't going to listen to this, but yeah, I know you really are.
Aw, happy birthday, Mel's dad.
Aw, what's up, Karma?
He seems like a character.
I call him by his first name. It's okay.
Him and Leah have some weird joke about $5 or something. I don't even
know. No, Jeanette does. No, it's just, okay. So she had a dream or something one time that the first time she met your dad, he gave her $10. And she was like, it was the weirdest, most random dream.
For what?
And she had never met him. I don't know why. And so
she hadn't met him then.
Yeah, she had never met him yet before. And so she tells Mel this, and it becomes like this funny thing. And so the first time she meets him, she tells him this, and he gives her $10. He does it. And then he signs it or something, right? Doesn't he? I don't know. But Jeanette kept it. She kept like the $10 that he gave her or whatever. And I was like, I don't know what this is, but Jeanette's not doing something right if she's only getting $10 from Mel's dad.
He's like, hold on, can I find a 10?
Oh, yeah. So what are we doing?
You guys, we're doing a podcast. We're doing a podcast.
Oh, we're doing a podcast. Okay, great. Great. Awesome.
Okay, this week we're talking about, and we're going to play for you, Red Hot Winter by Kay Webster. Everybody, get excited.
This is my first Kay Webster book. This is the first book I had ever read. Yeah, like you guys said. No, listen.
People call her like the Dark Alexa.
This is what I was going to say. So I'm reading this last night, the night before we're supposed to record for this. I'm reading this. I wait till last minute to do my homework. But I'm reading it, and I swear to God, at one point I stopped and put the book down, and I was like, is Mel riding on the side with Alan? Like, I actually had a moment to where I, like, the way it's written, the way it's structured, the words she uses, it is exactly like Melissa writes. Exactly. I was like, oh, shit, like, these people, there's more than one of her? Like, it was crazy. Reading, it felt so familiar. And so I think anybody who has ever read an Alexa Riley book and loved it will love Kay Webster. Like, I was shocked at how, I mean, and obviously, you're never going to write a story that's not written, but yeah, like, you know, in the romance, yeah, like, it's just, it's so good, and it's so dirty, but it's, you know, it sounds familiar, like, when I was reading it, I was like, oh, this is so awesome, like, this is exactly what I want to read, this is exactly what I would have written.
Was it the lack of condom?
So filthy.
really brought it home for you?
The lack of condom. Yes.
She just has a dark edge to some of the stuff she writes, and it's so fascinating to me, because I'm, like, probably the pickiest reader out of all of us. And there's certain things that I just won't read, but when it comes to her, I'm like, no, I'm reading it. She gets a pass on everything. I'm like, I don't care if it's got a trope I don't want to read, I'm reading
it. I usually like a sweeter heroine, you know, like one that's like a little bit maybe not like 90. Wide-eyed. I mean, I don't mind if, like, I love all heroines, don't get me wrong. But like when I write one, I usually write one that maybe doesn't like speak in sexually explicit terms, but I like,
okay,
but then I can read it and love it. And I loved it. I loved it here in this one. She was like so like badass and sassy and like not afraid to say exactly what she wanted, like sexually. And I was like, yes,
yeah,
get it, girl.
It's just, I don't want to give too much away, but the part when she's like, I mean, she's not a virgin, which is 100% what we write. And so the part when she says, like, she's not a virgin, and she kind of explains that a little bit, that was dirty. Oh my God. Like, I don't know what happened, but it was like a flip, like a switch got flipped when she was saying that. And I was like, oh, she's describing her first time right now. It was just, oh my God. It was so good. Mm. I love that. So yeah, like I said, reading this book, I was shocked. I had never tried Kay Webster before, but I am a fan for sure now. So she's great.
Yeah, and this hero, he's like a total, like, he wants to get revenge on his ex-wife by sleeping with her new husband's daughter. Like, that's the plot of this book. And, yeah. You know, that is, I mean, it. Yeah, it's like it confuses your vagina. You're like, I shouldn't like this, but...
But I am going to like
But I'm going this. To. Yeah. So let's see. What is it about erotic romance that, like, usually if there's no resolution with the, like, heroine's family, like, she's still at odds with her parents at the end of it. I'm like, oh, no, yeah. It doesn't feel fully resolved. But in an erotic romance,
I'm like. Do you think it's because you're a parent?
Well, no. Well, in an erotic romance, I'm like, yeah, she doesn't need him. Better off without him.
No, that's so true.
What is it about?
So, and it's like,
we've had people ask us for stuff on, they'll be like, what was this person's job or something? I'm like, who cares? Stop fucking her. That's his job.
Fucking her and breeding her is his job forever now. Stalking her,
making sure she doesn't move too far from his reach. Are you still peeing in there? Because it's time to come out of the bathroom. You've been in there too long.
Nobody, oh my God, what was the editor that said it to us one time where she's like, I know your heroines don't have a period, but your sentences need them.
Oh my God.
I was like, I know. I was like, yes, slow clap from the back. Good job. That was awesome. Because they don't, like, they don't have periods. Like, they don't go to the bathroom. It's just, you suspend all beliefs when it comes. That's why 90%
Oh my God, I thought because they were too young to have one. I thought that's what I thought you meant. And I was like, well, we just lost 1,000 viewers or listeners, so great job.
No, not because she's too young, because they, like, they breed them, like, right away. They don't have, like, natural body functions. It doesn't matter. Oh, my God. This podcast just got deleted from everything.
Should we start over? Okay.
No. This is wonderful.
Oh, my God.
I don't, oh my God, that was so good. My face hurts right now. But no, I mean, like, in romance, though, I think that's why so many of our hero and heroines and stuff, they're all orphans. Because it's easier. Yeah, it's easier to write orphans because there's no extra people you have to write in. Whereas situation in Kay Webster's book where it's like, okay, the hero in the book got a divorce, like, you know, there's this other couple now, and there's these kids that have parents,
she
and it's like
them all.
She writes them all, yeah.
And it's actually very interesting because she doesn't always tell you, and you'll pick up one of her books, like, I'll pick it up and I'll start reading, and I'm like, oh, wait a second. It's almost like a fun surprise when you put it together that it's
okay. I see.
And then I'll be like messaging her. I'll be like, is this whatever from this book? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so more excited.
See, I love when authors do that, but I never think to do it because I'm always like, I just forget it. Like, they're all dead, you know, because it's just easier to keep up with it.
One time I wrote a book and I gave her six brothers and sisters, six brothers. And she was like, you don't get to have six brothers. And she was like,
because then we'll have to write six books off of this because people will ask us for all the brothers' books.
They ask for like the cashiers at the gas.
But that's like a given. If you write a family with six brothers, everyone assumes that's going to be a series, right? Like, even if you write three brothers or, yeah. And then you got to deliver.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it. I love secondary characters. Like, I like dropping in one or two, like, well-placed lines mm-hmm. that people go, oh, there's a book. There's a book.
Well, we're doing that right now. We're currently writing a book that's going to be out before this podcast airs. And so I was reading it this morning. I was like, people are going to want this brother's book. Mel's already putting Easter eggs in there about, like, him on the phone and stuff like that. And I'm like, we're going to have to write this fucking book. Thanks a lot, Mel.
I actually have a really cute picture.
This is her ulterior motive right here.
Mel's like, I'm not going to go too much into this character, but he's still in love with his ex-girlfriend, and he's still pining away for her.
She thinks she's ex.
Yeah, that's so cute.
So yeah, good job, Kay Webster, for all these side characters. So is what I'm saying.
We posted something on Facebook last night asking people for their audiobook oops stories, like times when they were listening to an audiobook and got in trouble, like in one way or another. So should I just read one right now, and then I'll read the rest of them later in the week or something?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, do it.
Okay.
Go for it.
So this is for, I don't know if I should say her name, Ariadna. Okay, I'm just going to say her first name. I shouldn't say first name. I don't know actually anything about the legal aspects of podcasting, but I'm pretty sure I shouldn't. It has her address here. Should I read that? I'm just kidding.
No.
Just kidding.
Yes, absolutely.
Hold on, let me get Google Maps up.
Okay, here I go. Oh my fucking God, sad face, sad face, sad face. Actually, it's more like humiliated face. I go into Target trying to do something nice for my husband for Father's Day, and I walk out poor and humiliated. Check this out. Was trying to buy him a cool speaker, Bluetooth speaker thingy, and I went in. I have to ask for help because it's high up and I'm 4 foot nothing. More humiliated faces. The dude comes over and gets the last box down. Oops, something seems amiss with the stupid box, and he calls a manager. Manager dude comes over and they're all chatty and blah, blah, blah. I end up with a discount because it's the last speaker and the box is shitty. Anyway, I'm all excited because, yay, cheap speaker. When manager dude is all, let's test it out because it's got a shitty box and it could be damaged.
No.
But we need something to sync it up to. So I'm over here like, yay, cheap speaker. And hey, I have a phone, double yay. All of the electronic department heard Will Watt say cock at full volume. Who's Will Watt? Who knows who that is? Do you know who that is? I gotta Google it.
No.
So she said, I think God is smiting me. On the bright side, the speaker works.
Jesus.
Are you looking it up? Are you looking it up, Mel?
Is Will Watts a narrator?
Oh, okay.
Oh, I wonder what book, though. Okay, still.
Well, I got, like, I got a bunch of other stories, and almost all of them were, like, listening to a Sierra Simone audiobook when their embarrassing moment happened. So I think she's, like, hexed everybody. Something about her books.
Oh, yeah. No. That's so embarrassing.
So embarrassing.
Like your smut should not be shamed, but it should also be your little secret.
Yeah.
About it, because I've had it happen before where it just comes on in your car, like,
yeah,
before when the kids are racing out to go to the car to get in before me, and there's I've started
the oh car no
the remote start, it just goes on to your phone and it's in here, and sometimes you'll have your last porno that you were playing right before on your phone.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Just for example, Mel, is that what you're saying?
Like, holy shit. And so every time they, like, run out to the car, like, hits me, like, what was the last thing I was listening to? And I'm, like, running to my office to grab my phone to make sure the Bluetooth is off.
Oh, no.
It's like a man greeting his babysitter at the door, and it's like, so, well, my wife's not here, but, oh, wait, that's, is that not what you watch?
No, the first thing that happened to me was, it was just, like, heavy breathing. I didn't even know what it was at first when we got in the car.
Oh, cool.
And I turned it on. It was just heavy breathing. And I'm like, what is that? And even my son's like, I don't know. I'm like, and then it hit me what it was.
He'll know soon.
And I was like,
oh. He'll know soon enough. Oh my God.
Just horrifying.
Well, that's why technology is the enemy, because I don't know what the hell everything is synced up to now. Like, my husband and I share a cloud.
Listen to the podcast, people. Technology is the enemy.
Everything except the podcast is not safe.
We've lost every listener on this episode.
When you're done, you got to slide out if you got an iPhone.
If you were still hanging in there from the periods conversation.
Yeah.
We've now lost you.
Well, you know, if Kay Webster doesn't kick him out, I don't know what will.
Yeah, she's our barometer. If you guys are still in here next week, you're in for life. Okay, speaking of Kay Webster, let's start Red Hot Winter. Let's play the first section, and then we will catch up with you guys on the other side of this sexy, sexy, good time hero. What is he, an alpha hole?
On the right.
Already, introduction. If you guys are already Kay Webster fans and you're here because of her, you have met this hero in the book Dane.
Oh, yeah. So, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there you go.
All right.
All right. Well, enjoy, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Chapter 1, August. My daughter Callie chatters on the other end of the line, praising me for being such a good father, for always doing the right thing. Guilt niggles inside me, but I quickly ignore it. There's no room in my world for guilt. Aside from my daughter, the only thing I have room for is hate and fury bubbling up inside me. My ex-wife, Jackie, Callie's mother, is responsible for my rage. She lit the match and tossed it in the gasoline when she decided to not only shack up with my best friend Tony, but to then marry him too. It's been 2 years since our bitter divorce, and I get pissed as fuck whenever I think about it. "She'll be there after school," she says, dragging me from my angry thoughts. "I have cheer practice, and then I was going to dinner with Landon and his parents. Do you think you can handle it okay?" I reach over and grab my tumbler full of whiskey as I stare out the giant windows of my sleek, modern condo that overlook downtown. It's the first day of December and it's snowing. I hate the damn snow. I hate the holidays. I hate fucking everything. I can handle her fine. Back when Tony and I were friends, I thought his daughter Winter was a cool kid. She loved my daughter like a sister and didn't cause too much trouble. The girl wasn't on my radar. When the divorce went down, I avoided any and all situations that involved Tony, so I didn't accidentally ram my fist through his nose. But now? Now, Callie says Winter is in trouble at home and needs a place to stay. At first, I'd been adamant about telling my daughter no. Then, the more I thought about it, the more a plan developed. I'll piss her off, rile her up, tell her what a piece of shit her dad is, send her back to them with her tail between her legs. It makes me a dick, but I don't care. They fucking deserve it. Dad. I sip my drink and then smile. I said, I can handle her fine. I want you to try to be nice, though, she says softly. I know things are strained with you and her, Dad, but please don't take it out on her. I would never, I say through clenched teeth. Lies. I'm dying to taunt and terrorize her just because I can. You're a terrible liar, she responds, amusement in her voice. Luckily, she can handle her own. I'll call tomorrow to see how it went. Thanks, Dad, I love you. Love you too, kid. We hang up and I drain the rest of my whiskey. I came home early from the office for this shit. Once I rise from my white leather chair, I inspect my space with scrutiny. This new condo I was forced to buy after the divorce is perfect for a bachelor like myself. My wife got the house, kept the kid, and moved that motherfucker into my bed. I could have fought for it, considering she was the unfaithful one, but there was no way I could stomach being in that house ever again. So I gave it up and got this two-bedroom condo that cost twice as much as my old house. I went through a bit of a phase where I bought whatever the fuck I wanted because I could, because I deserved it for enduring what Jackie had put me through. My car is ridiculously overpriced, but I love it. At 41, I'm going through some midlife crisis bullshit that was set into motion because of Jackie's whorish ways. I crack my neck and stalk through the house. Everything is white and clean, not a pillow moved out of place. The door to Callie's room when she comes stays closed because she's a bit of a messmaker. I let her do her thing behind the door, but the rest of the condo remains immaculate. The doorbell rings, and a sliver of anticipation courses through me. Most men would take issue with terrorizing a sweet, innocent little 18-year-old girl. I'm not most men. I'm going to enjoy every second of it. When I swing the door open, all the anticipation deflates like a balloon. A woman with dark, bottle-dyed red hair in a black beanie has her head tilted down as she rummages around in her purse. Her shirt is low-cut, and her perky tits are on full display despite the fact it's snowing outside. The black leather jacket she's wearing is tight and stylish, but I don't understand how it keeps her warm from the cold. She wears a pair of skinny jeans and some Uggs just like Callie made me buy her a few weeks ago. I try to flip through all the Tinder dates I've had over the past few months to see if she's been one of them. Certainly not my type or anyone I'd willingly choose. I might have swiped right for her tits, though. Did we fuck? Is she back for round two? Disgust ripples through me. I wasn't this man before my divorce. I was fucking happy and loyal. Now I just drift from woman to woman, unable to let go of my anger long enough to let one get close to me. I fuck and run. they never get around to. Sorry, lady, but I'm gonna have to pass, I grunt out and start to close the door. Her head jerks up and big brown eyes bore into me. Familiar brown eyes. His brown eyes. Winter? Last I remember, she had fucking braces and brown hair. She didn't look so fuckable. Mr. Miller. She greets with a forced smile and then it's gone. Thanks for letting me crash. She starts forward and I block the doorway. Her eyes narrow as she tilts her head up to look at me. My nostrils flare as I inhale the scent of cinnamon. I have rules. My voice is cold, despite the way blood rushes to my dick. Rules that little girls like you have to abide by. Her brow arches up in challenge, and her brown eyes burn with intensity. Let's hear them, then. Clenching my jaw, I take a step back to put some distance between us and cross my arms over my chest. My gaze falls to her tits. For one, you can't wear that shit in my house. She laughs and it sounds sweet almost, angelic even. That is until she cuts it off and glowers at me. I'll wear whatever I want. Smirking, I shrug. Suit yourself. You'll get the side eye from every rich bitch in this complex. Her cheeks redden slightly, her only tell of her embarrassment before she challenges me with another hard glare. And why is that? Because this, I wave at her outfit, doesn't belong here. She rolls her eyes. Callie warned me you were a dick these days. I can handle myself with judgmental women. I do it all the time with your wife. X, I snap. Her laugh is mocking. Whatever, she's a bitch too. She pushes past me, dragging a suitcase in behind her. Last I remember of this girl, she was a little teenager, not this woman. My eyes track her ass as she waltzes through my condo like she owns the goddamn place. Her jeans are tight and hug the round globes of her curvy ass, making my mouth water at the sight. For a brief second, I forget she's my daughter's friend, the daughter of the man I hate, and admire her for what she is. Red, hot, female. My cock is aching and straining against my suit slacks, desperate to pin her against the wall. But I can't fucking do that. I have other plans for her, plans that involve using her just to fuck with him. First door on the right, Callie's room. Don't steal her shit, I call after her. She shoots me the bird before disappearing into her room. I scrub my palm down my face and grit my teeth. I'd expected some shy, innocent little thing, someone easy to fuck with. Not curves and legs and ass and sassy as fuck attitude. I'm still standing in the middle of the living room when she comes out of the room a few minutes later. Her jacket is gone and I'm awarded too much visual access to her tits. She's no longer wearing her boots. Walking in just her socks, she admires my space. Wow, she says in a soft voice as she reaches the window. This is quite the view. I can see her reflection in the glass, and she's no longer wearing the snotty bitch look. She's smiling at the scenery down below. Fuck, she's pretty. That's a problem. We're not done talking about the rules, I rumble as I approach. Her wide brown eyes dart up to meet mine in the glass. I don't stop until I'm inches from her. Another step and she'd know just how much she turns me on. I don't follow rules well, she bites out. The urge to touch her is strong, so I settle my palms on her shoulders. Tension melts away in her body as she relaxes. Leaning forward, I inhale her hair. Here you do. I wouldn't want to have to punish you for disobeying, I murmur, my thumbs rubbing into her back of their own accord. Out with it, August, she says coolly. What are your rules? The way she says my name in such a familiar way has some of my control slipping. My hands tremble with the urge to spin her and kiss her pouty fucking mouth. God damn, I need to get laid, and not by her, definitely not by her. Clean up after yourself, I tell her in a gruff tone. Got it, she snips. Easy, what else? You have to clean up after me too, Laundry, dishes, cook, the works. Earn your keep, little winter. She breaks from my hold and turns to face me. Her expression is fierce, and she tilts her head up to stare at me. I'm a neat freak. I can live with that. But cook? Hope you like cereal. You can learn, I tell her in a bored tone. Like all the other adults of the world. Think of it as practice, so you can be a good little wife one day. My eyes roam over her cute nose and full, sexy lips. She rolls her eyes. You're condescending as hell, you know that. My lips turn up in a devilish grin. It's what makes me a fucking monster in the courtroom. It's what makes me successful in life. Do you like being an attorney? She asks, genuinely curious. A frown chases away my smile. It's my job. But do you like it? I love it, I bite out. Now for my final rule. No boys. She snorts. Don't worry, I don't do boys. Her pink tongue darts out to lick her lips in an inviting way. I do men. Heat burns through me at her words. My hand shoots up and I grip her jaw, shocking us both. Fire blazes in her chocolate eyes when I pull on her jaw, parting her mouth. Dropping my attention there, I roam my gaze over her wet, parted lips. I imagine for a moment what it'd feel like to kiss her supple mouth. She smells like cinnamon. I bet she tastes like Christmas and hell all wrapped up in one deliciously sinful treat. You're far too mouthy for my liking, I growl. I'm dying to punish you for it. In fact, I slide my thumb over her bottom lip before searing her eyes with mine. Then I push my thumb past her lips, loving her gasp of surprise that tickles along my flesh. She grips my wrist, and for a moment I think she'll pull me away. Instead, her tongue runs along the underside of my thumb. My cock jerks in my slacks, and a groan of pleasure rumbles through me. With her eyes never leaving mine, she wraps those fat, juicy lips around my thumb and slides up and down as though I'm her own personal lollipop. I'm so stunned by her bold move that I jerk my hand away, the pop of my thumb leaving her mouth the only sound in the room. Her smile is positively wicked and taunting as she steps forward, twists her fist in my necktie, and pulls me close to her. I like things in my mouth, she says with a sultry, husky purr. So if you're trying to punish me, don't give me a reward instead. Then the sexy look fades as she pierces me with a sharp stare. And the next time you think you can intimidate me with your misogynistic bullshit, think again. Her lips turn up in a devious grin. I'm not like most women. I bite back. With those words, she turns on her heel, shaking her ass along the way. I draw my thumb to my lips and run my tongue along the wet flesh. Cinnamon and hell, just how I knew she'd taste. Looks like Christmas is coming early this year, and my gift is a naughty girl, one I'm going to take immense pleasure in punishing the fuck out of.
And we're back. Hello.
Hey. How'd you guys feel about that? Pretty good, huh?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah. You see what's coming. You know what's coming.
Oh, I know what's coming. That never gets old. That joke never gets old.
All right. So like we said in the intro, yeah, August is in the book Dane by Kay Webster. So you want to, we'll put the link for Dane. That's not a pre-order. That's out. We'll put that in the episode description. And also by Kay Webster is Enzo. That's up for pre-order. And that hero is also in the book Dane. So bottom line, you want to read Dane pretty soon.
It's really good.
And you get all these super great side characters.
I don't read a ton of male, but she has really turned me on to it lately. Because she had a book a while back where it was a husband and wife who introduced a man into their relationship. And then she did this male, and I've just kind of gone down this path with her. And it's been quite a fun path.
Path paved with dicks.
Yes.
Oh, and this will be up for pre-order too. The Red Hot Winter.
Yep.
The pre-order link.
Red Hot Winter is up for pre-order. We'll put the link down in the episode description. Also this week, there's a couple of books out from our Read Me Romance author family that we'll tell you about. Naughty or Nice by Alexa Riley is out now. You might have heard of them.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never. It's trash.
It's got a
don't read
girl
it.
On the cover.
Yeah, it does.
There's Ever After.
She's thick. She real thick.
She real thick. Okay, There's Ever After by Katie Robert is out. That's a Minaj book. Mm-hmm. And we're getting an audiobook from her next week. So you might want to snatch that up so that you can, I think you might meet these characters in that book, but I don't want to say for sure.
And she has a prologue to that that's free right now, like an intro book.
Okay. Cool.
Nice. It's free. It's up on our website. It's been up there. You guys might have probably already read it because it's been in the
bitches
free
love free. Get
it. Okay, so go to readmeromance.com. There's a free ebook section, so go check that out. And Defending Chloe by Susan Stoker. Hint, hint, she might be coming in season two. I don't know if we have announced that yet. But Defending Chloe is also out. And I think you said that was an audio, right, Mel?
It's an audio and Kindle Unlimited.
Sweet.
Nice.
Sweet. Okay, well, we will let you go. Obviously, rate, review, subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at readmeromance.com. You know the whole spiel by now.
You guys got to hang out all week with Tessa.
Sorry. Boring ass
I'm going to go take my pants off.
Okay, love you guys. Leah, tell them what to do.
Oh, fuck your day up. Make today your bitch. Don't be a dick, man.
Don't be a dick.
Don't do it. Don't be a dick.
Love you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Laters.
Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and read.